The nation's all-volunteer military force is effective, but it's expensive. Yet regardless of how much federal budget is devoted to defense, some members of the military families suffer from hunger. Too many. For why this is so and what could help, we turn to Representative Susan Davis, a California Democrat and sponsor of the Military Hunger Prevention Act. Representative Davis, good to have you on.
Thank you so much, Tom, and thank you so much for addressing this issue.
First of all, what prompted the bill? How did you find out about military hunger, and how extensive is it?
Well, when you're in San Diego, it's not too hard to find out, actually.
Just look across the bay there.
Because we have a number of food banks that try and assist our military families, and that makes news.
Now, military families are paid, and they have housing, so you would assume that they have what they need to feed themselves, but not the case?
Not the case, and of all the sacrifices, of course, that our military families make, food really shouldn't be one of them. What we know is that in California, and especially in a region like San Diego, military families receive a basic housing allowance in order to assist them in their housing. And because housing is expensive, that housing allowance has to adjust to that. When you add their housing allowance onto their income, which is required by law, then you have this inflated income, which doesn't allow them to be eligible for SNAP for the nutrition assistance.
Now, do members of the military, do they, as if they were deployed, if they're at San Diego, the large naval base there, do they get the members themselves? Do they get three meals a day from the military, and it's the families that are the problem?
Well, it's really the families. And it's the families with several children that make a difference here, because their income is not based on the number of children that they have. And so their income is based on their eligibility for a certain level of pay. There are many of our military families where one of them, and in some cases there are two, but we're talking mostly about one person in the military here, that have graduated from high school and are really not able to earn out in the regular market the kind of dollars that they can earn in the military. But you have this problem with adding on to their basic income the housing allowance, which is significant in areas where the cost is high.
So you must get some stories reaching up to your office from people that are simply out of food at the end of the month?
Absolutely. They are out of food by the end of the month and probably three quarters of the way through the month in many cases. And we do have organizations that respond to this need, but we think that the best thing to do is to just separate them. So you have them getting a nutrition allowance based on their income and not based on their housing allowance and their income.
So tell us what your bill would do then.
That's what would basically separate that out. So they would certainly get their annual pay increases, of course, but that wouldn't be included with their housing allowances as well.
So they would be then eligible for SNAP or WIC, I guess.
They would be eligible for SNAP, right.
And also WIC, Women, Infants, and Children?
WIC is really separate from that. We're talking just about SNAP. In this instance, there are other problems actually in California related to WIC and the Farm Act, but this is separate from that. For California, for example, it could mean as much as about $800 a month for a family of six, and CalFresh provides about $4.50 per person a day in food assistance. But when you add that up, you know, you realize that it doesn't seem fair, actually. That they would be looking at that allowance in terms of their income.
We're speaking with Representative Susan Davis, who represents California's 53rd District. And just I want to review the housing situation, because there is the major base that you mentioned in San Diego. The housing voucher means that a lot of the service members don't live in base housing, but they live in nearby apartments and commercial properties.
Right. And actually, in San Diego, very few live on base. Well, Camp Pendleton, there's housing on base, but there's a lot of public-private partnerships that have been created in San Diego. So in many cases, families do have housing that's a little bit better than, you know, World War II housing. But at the same time, and they pay the same no matter how many children they have. But in order for them to make it through the month and feed their family, this is the problem that they run into.
Tell us about the status of the bill. It's been introduced. Who are some of your co-sponsors, and what do you anticipate for it?
Well, we introduced this before as an amendment to the NDAA. And at that time, we weren't able to get that basically through the Rules Committee. And there are a lot of ways that they can relate to that, but basically they really didn't want to deal with it. So what we want to do is make sure that we have a lot more people that are on board, hopefully on both sides of the aisle, understanding the issue. And we certainly hope that there'll be some informational sessions, if not briefings or hearings on the subject.
So this is something that will happen, if it happens, in the next Congress, not during the lame duck.
That's right. That's right. The NDAA actually has been done. And so we hope and expect that the president is probably going to sign it. And we'll be moving on to next year. We felt it was important to introduce this again at the end of the session. We were unsuccessful, as I mentioned, in the Rules Committee. We're very hopeful that there will be more focus on it. And as families, I think, are thinking about the holiday and their own families, perhaps, that they'll realize how important it is that our military families not worry about where their next meal is going to come from.
And have you discussed it with some of the military leadership and have gotten a reaction there?
Yes, of course, we have. And they are concerned, as we are, but they do understand the situation. And they realize that there is cost to this. And so that's something that we'll be talking about in the future.
That was my next question. Do you have a CBO score yet for this bill?
We don't exactly. And part of that is because it differs by regions. And so we have to relate to it and perhaps have language in the bill that responds to the different regions in the country. There are military families across the country for whom this is not a big issue, because their housing allowance is not so great that it throws off their income.
I imagine apartments in, say, Minot, North Dakota are probably a lot less than apartments right in downtown San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. And so they are qualifying for nutrition assistance. But in areas like San Diego, that really impacts them because the housing allowance has to be high enough for them to be able to live in the community. And that's very important to us, that we have members of our military who are part of the community.
Democrat Susan Davis represents California's 53rd District. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
Find a link to the bill and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.